Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
Lillard, a chance to send the Thunder home. Lillard, long range three, and it's good! At the buzzer, Damian Lillard! Are you kidding me?
Here's Curry with a high bounce pass. Oh!
Into the Bo Templin Show. You guys could be listening to anyone. You could be listening to anything. You could be anywhere. And you're spending our time with us. This is year three. This is my favorite episode of the entire year that we do. And this is the NBA preseason show. We have a lot of notes. We've done a lot of preparation for this. We have a ton of content. It is Thursday evening around 6:30. I am in downtown Columbia, Missouri. You guys will probably be listening to this either on Monday afternoon or on Tuesday morning. Today, coming on the show, I mean, like I said, this is tradition now. And there's nothing quite like tradition. So, like the last 2 years, coming on the show is none other than Uncle Luke Domask.
And for the third straight year, I can proudly say it's another day in the NBA. I am so excited for this season, jumping for joy, literally jumping for joy for the season to start. I just walk in Chicago, it's getting a little colder, it's a little brisker now, and just taking that train every day back and forth. And every when you're coming up on the City of Wind, and you look off in the distance to the south side of the train, and you see that United Center, just sprawled out across the building. It's basketball season, Bo, and there's no other person I can think of to kick off hoop season than with you.
Uncle Luke, we were just talking before the show. I'm sweating right now. I'm giddy. I have, honest to God, pregame butterflies right now in my stomach. I get the same feeling every single time that we record. I get this feeling every single time I step out onto the Mizzou Rec basketball floor. I get this feeling anytime I'm associated with basketball. It is so good to have this season upon us. And I'm going to be honest, Uncle Luke, I kind of got into football there for a little bit.
But yeah, you did.
Let's be real, okay? Let's not kid ourselves, right? That's just the side chick. That's
side
the side
pieces.
Girl. Come on now. Y'all know who the main squeeze is, and it is, like you said, another day in the NBA. Uncle Luke, year three, okay? So I want to give you two things here because we start the show every year the same way. And you know where I'm going with that, but I got to give you two things real quick, all right? I've got a magic number for you.
Okay.
And then I want to talk about how year three for us could be different than years one and two. So the magic number for this episode is 60. And I'm going to get into that number later on in the show. And you'll find out what that number means. The magic number for this episode is 60. Now, in regards to us and years one where we started at KCOU. We were on the student radio station. We released it as a podcast later on in the week. And then in year two, we had separated. We had gone and done our own thing, doing the iconic podcast at, I believe, 915 Providence Road in Columbia, Missouri.
That's correct. That checks out to me.
Thank you. But things tend to change in year three. And so I want to talk about a player who, in their third year, made a ginormous leap. This player was drafted top five in his NBA draft, and he had a good rookie year. He had a really good rookie year, like we did at KCOU. And this player then, in his second season, he grew up a little bit. We saw him rise to the occasion at times, and he kind of solidified himself as a legitimate up-and-coming superstar, like I think we did with Iconic at Providence Road. But it was not until his third season that this player went on. He was a solidified superstar. He is an NBA champion in his third year. And he is a Finals MVP. And that man is Dwayne Wade. So, talking about the third year, Uncle Luke, we might be heading into the direction of our old pal Dwayne Wade, who for the first time will not be joining us during this illustrious year-long dance that is the NBA season. But year three, brother, I'm excited to do it with you.
Yeah, man, and I think you alluded to it earlier in the your little spiel there, but year three is when you take off, man. Year three is where everything happens. You want to think of another player. Year three popped off. Derrick Rose, the youngest MVP ever. First year rookie of the year, second year all-star, third year MVP.
I like that the
third year. You go down the line. LeBron in his third year. That's when I think 2007. Or that might have been his fourth year, but third year, same sort of deal. It seems like the cadence of every NBA superstar. It's usually their third year where they begin to pop off. They begin to solidify themselves in the league. And I mean, we got a great third year class. We got Karl Anthony Towns, Devin Booker, D'Angelo Russell, all guys in various different situations here. And then there's us in year three. And I'm so excited to get into it today, Bo. This is probably, I've been thinking about it a lot, especially since the San Diego episode, which was pretty much the last time you and I really sat down and spoke hoops for an extended period of time, is that this season is just, it's got me giddy. Like, I can look at the map of the NBA, of the association, and from the Garden to the Rose Garden out in Portland, I can look at every single franchise and go, there's a reason why I want to tune in. Even the frickin' Knicks, like it's out of this world. And, it's a league of duos now. And I'm sure, we're going to try and keep away from the prediction stuff that we did more or less in the off season. But that was more free agency talk. I'm ready to get into the nitty gritty and I'm excited for the season to start tonight.
As the last 3 years have started, and as we will start today's episode, we do it always the same. So, Uncle Luke, let me ask you, brother. Let me do it. Give me the honors. Uncle Luke, you have been appointed the commissioner of the NBA. Tomorrow morning, what's the first thing that you're going to do when those papers cross your desk?
So you look at the situation in China. I'm kidding. I'm not going to fucking go there.
Oh, you had me, bro. You had me.
No, I'm not even touching that. To be honest with you, the quicker this season could start and we can move on from that whole fiasco and all the comments that have been made regarding that situation, the better. When I can see, the ball bouncing on the hardwood, it's going to make me feel good inside. No, I've been thinking about this question a lot because we've talked about some very interesting things. I think at KCOU, I led off the show by saying, if you win a championship, there you shouldn't be leaving. And there was that kind of this uproar from Seattle as Seattle continues to build their hockey rink and kind of vie themselves to get their basketball team back. Obviously, they won a championship in the 70s and then eventually moved to Oklahoma City right before the Durant, Harden, and Russ years. So we've talked about some interesting things in the past, and I've really tried to kind of think outside the box for this question. As you know, as the commissioner, that's what you're supposed to do. Is when problems or solutions, things that pop up in front of your desk, and you start thinking outside the box. So here's what I want to think. So at the end of last year, you and I, we said goodbye to NBA Reddit streams. It was sad. It was over. A good, you know, soldier. We lost a good man that day, as they say in Wedding Crashers. So for me, I've been thinking about this, and I've had another idea as well.
To unruly trades. I don't, to fans, I don't want to talk about it.
Exactly. But for me, I'm getting rid of NBA League Pass altogether. Now, there's a whole lot of moving parts in this, because obviously you have the TV deal with ESPN and Turner. Obviously, the NBA, League Pass, the name itself is more popular than the actual product, which has been lackluster for many, many years. As a League Pass subscriber, it is lackluster, to say the least. I'm going to go into Twitter headquarters in San Francisco and in the Valley, one day in the Valley. Actually, that's not in the fucking Valley. I'm thinking of San Francisco. Anyway, walk in and I'm going, hey, NBA Twitter is a massive part of why we have grown in the last decade. You know, if you look at the last decade of the NBA, the conversation has totally overtaken majority of other sports, just online. You know, whether it's not the most popular sport or not, it's probably still football. But there is not a more talked about, more spoken about sport or more tweeted about sport than the NBA. And so what I'm doing is I'm going to Twitter and I'm saying, hey, I want to give the TV rights to you guys. All right? Now follow me on this journey here. I'm going to take one more minute and I'm going to leave the floor to you. I want to give the rights to you guys. And what I want to do is then give the rights to the teams so that they can broadcast the stream of the game, because the stream on Twitter is far better than any League Pass stream I have ever used, whether it's Periscope or just, you know, that the pro sports, franchises and leagues have dabbled with, you know, live streaming sports on their website. So it's not anything new, right? But I want to put, you know, I go to the Twitter, you know, Chicago Bulls page, and it's just the game right there. And then all the people who, you know, are Bulls fans or people who want to comment in the game, you have that form of NBA Twitter, just up and down, talking and talking, you know, tweeting about it. Grow the game online more. Use NBA Twitter to your advantage. Take away the League Pass altogether. Scratch the old version of cable and TNT and ESPN, which they'll definitely have a piece of this as well with their streaming services. But I want to put the games on Twitter. I want to go where the conversation is with the streams. It couldn't be that difficult if you gave every single team their ability to stream, you know, the live stream, just like tuning in to NBA, you know, League Pass. But instead, we go straight to the teams, all the conversation right there on Twitter, boom. Simple fix to League Pass. I've thought about this quite a bit, and you know, working in the media industry, it's made me think about a lot of different things and a lot of problems we have with especially, you know, cable cutters and the older generation of viewing sporting events. But for me, just go where the conversation is. Why not? It would be so much more fun if we could just watch the games and talk about them right then and there. Right, we're already on Twitter majority of the time, unless you and I are on a Tuesday night in the middle of February talking to NBA. So why not? Let's go straight to the viewer. Let's go straight to Twitter, and let's make this streaming deal happen.
Uncle Luke, I'm not going to lie. That's a much better answer than I have prepared.
I'm going to be completely honest. I did not write that down. I just thought about it for 15 minutes before I showed up here today, and it's something I strongly believe in, so.
That's really strong. And listen, I am as consistent and loyal of a League Pass subscriber as anyone. I've been doing it probably since my freshman year of high school, trying to watch Milwaukee Bucks games from San Diego. So I'm right there with you. And listen, our farewell to NBA Reddit streams was so honorable and so justified. And it really was romantic. Listen, we have spent so much time with NBA Reddit streams over the last decade now. It's a tough goodbye to say. I think what you're saying about Twitter is really interesting. You know, I don't know how it works with TNT or ESPN and, of course, all that. And listen, a lot of the commissioner question is hypothetical. But I think what it does come back down to is if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So what is one of the biggest problems in the league? So if you ask people that don't enjoy the NBA, because I don't really have that perspective. I love it so much that I do tend to get blind. I do tend to miss out on the important or the stuff that isn't going so well. So I started asking around people that aren't necessarily NBA fans or hoop fans. And a lot of the question and a lot of the responses that I was getting was, you know what? I don't like the flopping. And I said, I never really had a rebuttal for it. And that was the problem. I could never really justify it. I could never really say, you're not looking at it this way. No, the flopping is a huge problem in the NBA right now. So I've tried to come up with a solution, and no, it is not very good, but wow, do I think it would be entertaining. I would like to change the penalty for flopping. These guys have so much money as it is, right? They're signing these huge contracts, and deservingly so. They're traveling year-round. They're dealing with hecklers and all of that, and we could
dealing
never
with
even
hecklers.
Imagine. That is serious. Getting screamed at
you're right.
For 2 hours a night is not an easy thing to deal with. I know we joke about it. We go to one game a year if you're lucky as a common NBA fan. And if you get the chance, you get your 2 hours of heckling in. But to get it night after night after night, honestly, could be pretty wearing on a player.
Look, go ask Utah. Ask Utah players how that worked out for them last year. I understand.
So these guys have so much money. I'm not sure a fine really does that much when it comes to flopping, right? And they're only really able to penalize flopping after the fact, because officiating flopping in real time is almost nearly impossible to do. So I came up with a fair and very entertaining and elementary way to deal with it. I think that if it's determined that a player flops and they have, the evidence to prove it, Harden snaps his head backwards and there's no contact, and including a brush of a beard, and he complains to the official. Now, that's an important caveat here, is if they flop and complain to the official, that they should have to release a public apology after the game and apologize directly to the referee and say, got caught up in the heat of the moment of the game, was just trying to do whatever I could to win. Yeah, I flopped, and I want to apologize to Zach Zarbra, the head official tonight, who I complained to.
Wow.
Listen, I know it's elementary. Okay. I know it's elementary. And with video now, though, and if a player flops and he complains, I think that's the most important part. If he complains about it after he flops, then they should have to release a video after the fact. Now, players would never agree to do this. Guys would say, I'm not making this apology. You can fine me for it. I don't care. And we get back to square one. But I think at least it's a fun idea to throw around that you have to change the punishment and make it more personal to the player. Because as of right now, there's no incentive not to flop. And I just don't want to get to a place where officials are already put in a really tough position. So there is my very elementary solution, Uncle Luke. I apologize if it's not all that serious in manner.
No. I would pay a good amount of money to see Chris Paul and James Harden have to apologize to Danny Crawford after a game which they constantly criticize Danny Crawford every time. You know, the officiating, has totally taken over the NFL. And I think for the most part, on any given night in the NBA, you're going to have one or two bad calls. And that's just the nature of it. And these guys understand it, that these guys can't get every single call. And that kind of brings up that point about coaches being able to review certain plays now this year with the green light button or whatever they're calling it. Which should be interesting to see how it's utilized, if it's utilized at all, if coaches are, which coaches are really going to use it and which guys aren't. But I definitely agree with the idea in today's society. You know, we're here sitting on our asses at home on our couch watching it on TV, where there's 15 different camera angles and we can see every little thing. We can see every single replay. Look, these guys get one shot to blow the whistle. One shot. They either eat it or they don't. They either blow it or they eat it.
It is one of the toughest. It is one of the toughest jobs in all of sports. That is the truth. Officiating in real time is almost damn near impossible. And if guys are going to flop, they're going to get away with it. But if we enforce it after the fact using replay,
right?
I think, and make it personal. Make it personal. Make it a personal attack on players. So that's my suggestion for this year. And listen, I enjoy doing it. Last year I said, do you recall what I said last year, Uncle Luke?
I'm thinking about it right now. I was going to bring it up when I was bringing up mine from KCOU, but it was a good one.
I talked about how the NBA was not going to allow J.R. Smith not having his Supreme tattoo on his leg.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. And for a company that considers itself employee friendly, I thought it was silly. But that's my suggestion for this year. Moving on, Uncle Luke, and this is maybe my favorite category that we do every NBA preseason, but it's our all-league pass team, right? Mm-hmm. The NBA is such a league of superstars and players, and now if you follow a player from high school with mixtapes and Ball Is Life and Baller TV and whatever it is, you follow them into college, and then they get drafted after 2 years, you follow them through their career. And so now with League Pass and all the other outlets to watch the NBA, you can kind of pick and choose who you want to watch. So we've created a starting five of players that you just like to sit down and watch regardless of the game that they're in. So Uncle Luke, if you want to go ahead and give me a little bit of your all League Pass team, go right ahead.
Absolutely, and I want to put a few qualifiers out there. You're not going to see any superstar names on this list.
No superstars.
I'm not going to, roll out Giannis' starting five from the All-Star game, right? I'm not going to do that. These are guys that make watching this game on a night-to-night basis worth it, and that doesn't always mean, hey, the superstars, they sit out sometimes. I've gone to plenty Bulls games where, a superstar like Kawhi or Anthony Davis is in the building and I pay to watch those guys play and they sit out. So sometimes, in the middle of January where teams are just trying to get by the month, basically, you got to rely on these different types of guys, these league pass guys, that really do fuel the NBA on a night-to-night basis. So I'm assuming we're going in point guard to center to, six.
I believe that position would be the appropriate way to go about this.
Okay. As I told you pre-show, I'm gonna give you one definitive name and then one guy that I also could not leave out of there because I'm just so excited to watch him play. But the first guy for me is the point guard, the presumable starting point guard in San Antonio, and that is DeJounte Murray.
Ooh!
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I have bought all the stock on DeJounte Murray Island back in 2016 when he was actually drafted out of Washington and had a pretty serviceable rookie year, showed a lot of good things, good flashes, obviously well-coached in San Antonio under Pop and now Tim Duncan on the bench as well. And then he tears his ACL coming into year two last year where a lot of people were expecting him to make that leap that we talk about, that second year to third year leap. So coming off the ACL injury, and listen, the Spurs are a lot like the Patriots in the way that not a whole lot gets outside the locker room. They don't really talk about what goes on inside the locker room, what goes inside the building. And they rarely go out of their way to make a point about a player, whether good or bad. Pop will obviously criticize and he also will also praise guys, but he won't do it, where it's catching headlines, right? But all offseason, all I've heard out of San Antonio is how special DeJounte Murray is, how good he looks, how much stronger he was, or how much stronger he is. He used to be very thin, lean, long, but obviously wasn't well built out. Now, all I hear about out of San Antonio is DeJounte Murray is going to be a stud. He's going to be the engine of the San Antonio Spurs in that constant pick and roll ball movement offense, and he's going to be the engine, the guy that's going to be also the steering wheel and making sure they keep on track. And there's so much I love about him. His body type for a point guard, he's big, he's tall, he's about 6'5", 6'6", and he's just a pest on defense. He's going to get a lot of steals. He's going to play the passing lanes a lot, and he's just so smooth and lean with it. And I love everything about his game, and I cannot wait to watch him play. And the other guy, very similar, is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who has been traded from the Clippers.
SGA.
To OKC, who is a very, very similar body type, game, all of that. I can't wait to watch those two point guards play this year.
Uncle Luke, I mean, we've been on this DeJounte Murray train for so long. In addition with SGA, and I could not agree more with both of them, but in my starting spot at point guard, man, Listen, I brought his name up so many times on my podcast. I always bought in. And I would say that if there was a theme to my pod or to my notes for the NBA preseason podcast this year, is that I'm buying in, right? And whether that's to the hype, whether that's to a comeback, whether that's to any regard, I'm buying in. And I truly believe, that I'm buying into Lonzo Ball. He is on my list, man. You want to talk about a top five? And let me say that again, okay? People don't realize this. This goes under the radar. Lonzo Ball is a top five defensive point guard in the NBA. He is also one of the more elite passers in the NBA. And take away his jump shot, he is above average in every category that you want your point guard to be a part of. And, you know, he's trying to make the improvement on the jump shot. We'll see if it happens during the regular season. That's probably the one area that, you know, of course I'm hesitant and cautious about. Free throw line's the same boat. But defensively, rebounding, and passing, you know, you trust him with the turnovers. And with the team that he's got around him, I have so much faith. And I believe, I really, really believe in Lonzo Ball this year. And when I'm tuning in on that Tuesday night in February, the Pelicans are going to be one of those teams that I will be watching for. So at point guard on my all-league pass team is the one, the only, Lonzo Ball. Uncle Luke,
couldn't
who's
stay
at the
away.
Number two, baby?
Couldn't stay away from the Southern Cal product, could you?
Oh, I'm, and you know what? Honestly, all these guys might be SoCal products.
That's awesome. I mean, most of my guys are honestly year two, U3 players as well. This guy, and I don't say this because he's now on my television screen for the last preseason game of the year. But I look, him and I have had an interesting ride relationship wise the last 2 years. You know, he comes over, he's not healthy, sits out for majority of the year, plays his first full season.
Ooh,
show some
I like
flashes.
This. I like where you're going,
show
buddy.
Show some flashes. But if there's anybody on my team that is going to make you tune in, that is going to put asses in the seats, that is going to bring an electricity that we have not seen in this town for a very, very long time, it is Zach LaVine at shooting guard. Let me tell you right now, I know I'm biased with this pick. I know I'm going to be tuning in anyway. But Zach LaVine is primed. He is primed. We talk about guys who want to be better, who want to be in the conversation. You know, last year we talked about this with Ben Simmons coming into the offseason. Does Ben love basketball, or does he care about it enough where he's going to sit in a gym all summer and shoot? I don't have to worry about that with Zach LaVine. Now, when he came to the Bulls, different demeanor, bad front office, just a whole lot of drama going on in the locker room. I kind of doubted him a little bit. He didn't seem like he wanted to be here. Gets the contract, year removed now, after the injury, excuse me. This man is going to be on a tear this year. He's going to make his first All-Star team. Health permitted, he'll be flying through the Chicago night in February on Saturday night, All-Star weekend. I cannot wait for this man because he wants to play defense, and he has shown it in the preseason so far. His on-ball defense, significantly better. He's way more cognitively aware on the defensive end this year. He's becoming more of a leader in the locker room. He's saying the right things. It's not just the scoring, not the issue. You need a man to put 25 effortless points on the board. Zach LaVine's one of the best guys in the NBA to do it for you. And obviously, it's going to come with all the highlights and everything like that. I cannot wait for this man to take off this season.
Uncle Luke, I'm not going to lie to you. He was on my bubble. I absolutely considered putting Zach LaVine in my starting five. I think he's just going to be a joy to watch this year. He's going to have the freedom to do what he wants. He's going to be in a great fan base. He's going to be playing in an electric arena, honestly. And he's going to have not that much pressure to win games. So I think he's just going to be just a blast to tune in for. But at the two, my guy can stroke it, man. And you know what? I think he was in my starting lineup last year, and that's Devin Booker. And you know what? Shout out Dustin Sleater, because Sleater's been on this Devin Booker train for so long. I'm bought in, man. I could watch Devin Booker light it up for 36, 34, 38, 28, 40 a game. No
70.
Problem. I could watch this guy play all day long. He's the kind of guy that I love playing with. He's the kind of guy I love watching play. And I think that the Suns might have some cooking down in Arizona for the next 5 years. Obviously, they would need to make a move or two to do so. I'm just saying that there's some promise amongst those young guys. Devin Booker leading the way. And let's just be honest. Devin getting buckets Booker is going to be an absolute electric entertainer this year down in Phoenix. And that's the truth.
Yeah, I agree with you. His entertainment value has honestly never been low. He has always been, ever since his rookie year, it's one of those guys where I think in the first 10 games, you kind of realize really quick of a guy's career. You know, I want to say you can outlook, you know, the entire career can project it, but you can kind of tell what kind of juice he has to him, you know? And Devin Booker was one of those guys who was like, why did this guy fall to 10 again? What was the issue behind him falling to 10? You know, when he was
Uncle
drafted.
Luke, I
agree
Uncle
with you.
Uncle Luke, I really like that word you're using to describe. He's got juice, man. Like, some guys have it and some don't. Some are afraid of the bigger moments and some aren't. And I know that no matter what the game is, no matter what the situation is, when you look at Devin Booker before the game, you say, Devin, I need 28 tonight. I need 30. He's saying, all right, bet. I got this. And that's exactly what you want from a guy on your all-league pass team. So, Uncle Luke, at your three spot.
My three spot. So this is another two-for-one deal here. I'm going to say this one name quick. He plays shooting guard, can also play point guard, can also play small forward a little bit. But it's Josh Richardson on Philadelphia. The only reason why I say this is that lineup is historically massive. Their projected starting five of Horford, Embiid, Simmons, Josh Richardson and Tobias Harris. You know, Josh Richardson is kind of basically the only true guard in that lineup, and he's an elite on ball defender. It's definitely what they need in Philadelphia. A guy who can, you know, chase guards around with that such a big lineup, and he showed a lot of promise in Miami last year. He's been a slow starter to his career, but really stroked it from deep last year as well. But my true small forward is on a team, as a guy on a team that I cannot wait to watch as well. It was a league pass team of mine, and I thought this was such a fantastic move by this GM and this team to go after this guy, because it's such a perfect fit that sometimes, like, you know, I feel like front offices across the NBA, they just don't overextend themselves to go get the guy that they know is the perfect fit for their offense. Bohan Bogdanovic. Is the perfect, you know that Stephen A. clip. This is exactly what I was been waiting for. This is exactly right. This guy.
Keep that music, please.
This guy in Utah, I'm talking about a match made in heaven. Last year, shot 50% from the field, 42% from deep, 80% from the line, and shot and scored 18 points a game. Easy money. He's in the thick of his career. He's in year five. He's 30 years old. He's going to play alongside Joe Ingles, Donovan Mitchell, Mike Conley. You know Mike Conley's going to get Bohan his money. You know he's going to get him to his spots. And that floor is just going to be wide open with Rudy Gobert down low, beasting around. You got Conley, you got Mitchell, ball-dominant guy that can be able to feed the corners to Ingles and Bogdanovic as well. I mean, if there's a reason to stay up late and watch these Utah games, it's Bohan, because he's not going to start. He's not going to be their starter. He's going to come off the bench. He may play a little four as well. He's big enough to play a little bit of four. But let me tell you, this man can stroke it. He was incredible for Indiana last year. It was a big reason why I loved Indiana last year as well. And this man is pure jumper, a professional shooter in the NBA.
You got to love professional, right? As we've talked about over and over and over, and already we've mentioned guys who are under this job subscription, you gotta love a professional bucket getter, right? Like, to the core, what's this game about? It's about getting buckets. And at the end of the day, it's more about scoring more than the other team. So that's why I'm not necessarily a critic of quote-unquote the Rockets system, right? Like, I may criticize at times players on the Rockets or decisions made, But I don't criticize the system because at the end of the day, this game is about scoring more than the people in front of you. And Bogdanović is one of those guys who helps you get the job done. The pick that I have here in my small forward spot, or, you know, at the three spot, combo guard, wing guy, rookie, on a team that is going to be maybe a 5 seed in their conference.
Okay.
And I didn't buy in last year. I was not bought into this guy in college.
Okay.
But all of a sudden, he's kind of showing some signs. All right. He's got the mid-range, which, by the way, we're going to be discussing mid-range later on today.
But he's
got some mid-range. He's got the long ball. And he's got that swagger. And there is something to be said about a player who's got swagger.
Yep.
And it's Tyler Hero.
Yes, it is.
Tyler Hero is going to be on a team that's going to be in a really interesting place to be in. And he's going to have his moments to be a part of that spotlight. And listen, Jimmy G is going to be doing his thing, obviously, on the defensive end. And Jimmy G is going to be the captain. He's going to be the guy. All I'm looking for right now from Tyler Hero is just show the signs, right? You're a rookie. You're a young kid. You're going to be a part of a team that's going to be in the mix.
Show me the juice.
Show me the juice, brother. Show me the juice. And from what I've seen between preseason NBA, between the summer league, and towards the end of his college career at Kentucky, Tyler Hero, that boy's got some juice in him. So, I know the hype's crazy. I know he's the white boy who gets buckets. I get all that. I'm not necessarily saying he's, you know, my favorite to win Rookie of the Year by any means. I'm just saying, when you're tuning into the League Pass and he gets into the game, I think he could be a joy to watch. I am super excited to watch him play. Uncle Luke, though, we got to get into this front court now, right?
It's all about the big boys. We got to feed the big boys.
Who are the big fellas in your all League Pass team?
We got to feed the Philly Parises and the Gabes of the world. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh! Hey, those are my big men right there. Those are my big men.
You got to feed these guys. Now, I'll tell you right now, power forward is by far my favorite position in the NBA today. Had you told 12-year-old Luke Domask that power forward in 2019 would be your favorite position in the NBA, I'd call you crazy. Because power forwards, let's be clear, power forwards were guys who did the dirty work, they grabbed board. You know, the old school power forward is Taj Gibson. Right, he's pretty much the last
Udonis Haslam, right?
UD. Those are literally the last of a dying breed of gentlemen at the power forward spot of the mid to early 2000s, and I seeped into the 2010s a little bit. But the reason why I love this position so much in the NBA today is because these guys, their position has no description anymore, and this is a year two guy who's going to be on a god awful team this year, but that's okay. Because he's got a point guard facilitating him, too. They're two young bucks in Memphis. I love Jaren Jackson. You want to talk about a guy who was literally born to play basketball. A guy who, if you took Kevin Garnett and you took young Chris Webber and you molded them together and gave them a three-point shot and a guy who can also handle the ball, bring it up for you, give you different looks coming up the floor, Jaren Jackson Jr. is that guy. He's so special and a guy who showed the juice, the guy who showed flashes last year, maybe more than any rookie where you're like, oh, that's what he brings. You know, obviously Doncic was flat out insane, but I feel like a lot of people kind of predicted that. Look, this Doncic guy, special. Trae Young for me last year as a rookie, when I saw him up close in person, I was like, okay, I see it now. Special. Jaren Jackson, I mean, could be Anthony Davis. If he wants to be, he can be that type of level player. And I think it was so smart of Memphis. I'm not overthinking that second pick. Obviously, it was really a 2-3 man draft this past year. Jaren Jackson Jr. and Ja Morant, the J brothers, they're going to be nice. They're going to be really nice. And I mean, I love everything about his game. He's the way he can run the floor, defend on the other end, and also, you know, bring the ball up and give you different looks. I love Jaren Jackson Jr. And I think in year two, we're going to, health permitting, this man's going to be a special player.
Uncle Luke, you know, one of the common questions that I get when people ask me about the podcast or whatever it is, right? You know, for a lot of people, the podcast is a way to just kind of promote themselves, or it's a way to get another job, or it's a way to, get rid of ideas. And people always say, well, like, you know, do you cuss on your show? Right? Like, and I'm like, you know, I don't outrageously cuss. But Uncle Luke, you motherfucker. You motherfucker. Jaren Jackson Jr. is in my all-league pass team, bro.
Of course he is. We always have at least one. Always have at least one. Year one, we had D'Angelo Russell and Jokic. We had two a year one. It was a little too close. Last year, I forget who we had last year. It was a similar player.
Listen, I'm not going to – say it any better than you just said it, right? Jaren Jackson Jr., not everyone's tuning in to Memphis Grizzly games. Listen, I'm going to give you a heads up right now. They're in my top three league pass teams for this
interesting, year. Interesting,
interesting. Yeah. I don't know. Jaren Jackson Jr. is everything that you want right now in an NBA prospect. He is long. He comes from a great family of NBA talent. He's athletic. He's smart with the ball. He's got the juice. And listen, maybe my expectations are getting too high for this kid, but from what I've seen so far, right, from what we've seen in year one on a horrible Memphis Grizzlies team that can only get better, dude, in 3, 4, 5 years, Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to be a legitimate all-star. He will be a legitimate second team, third team, all-NBA. And I think there's going to be times, and this is maybe what separates him from everyone else, you know, among this mix of great NBA talents, is that he can lock down on the defensive end, bro. He can lock down when he needs to.
Positions one through five, too. He's quick enough to guard guards.
One through five, he's versatile, he's skilled. He is maybe my Mr. All-League pass team. Like, if there was one guy I could choose to say...
The captain. Oh,
in the next 2, 3 years, this guy is going to be so freaking fun to watch. I cannot emphasize enough how excited I am to watch this kid continue to grow, continue to get better, watch the skill set develop while the athleticism and the knowledge and his comfortability improve. Jaren Jackson Jr. is everything that I want and more. Uncle Luke, can you give me your final spot in your all-league pass team? I know you've got a variety of players, but one more spot here.
I'll give you my guy, and then I'll give you my three bench guys. I won't go too in-depth
on
them.
Would love to hear them.
I can't tell you to watch the Knicks. In fact, if I did tell you to watch the Knicks, you could call me crazy. You could call me, you know, a lunatic. You shouldn't be watching the New York Knicks basketball for a very long time, at least. You know, if you're a diehard Knicks fan or you're a big R.J. Barrett fan guy, sure, why not? But if there was a reason you had to watch the Knicks, say a national... you know, TV game, that classic Friday night game, a 6 o'clock spot between the Knicks and the Garden against Boston, per se, which, you know, that's always going to pop up on ESPN at some point in the winter. If there's one guy to watch on the New York Knicks and he plays center, it's Mitchell Robinson, another second year guy. This man, you want to talk about defensive tenacity. Man almost averaged 3 blocks per game in his rookie season. They're telling him to shoot more threes, and I watched a little bit of Knicks basketball last night, heaven help me, and this man was jacking threes and making a few. You know, he's not going to be a reliable three-point shooter like maybe Joel Embiid is from the center spot, per se, but if that guy who is 7'2", 7'3", a wingspan from New York to Chicago, the man who just dominates the paint... I mean, the Knicks are going to be a bad defensive basketball team, and he's going to get a ton of blocks from just guys missing assignments, not picking up the right guy, and he's going to have to come over from the other side of the block and just swat things into, you know, Brooklyn. Mitchell Robinson is a good reason why you want to watch Knicks basketball. He might be the best player on the Knicks right now, and he's 20 years old. My three guys, honestly, I love Kevin Huerter in Atlanta. Red Velvet, going to be a superstar shooter. I love him. I think Jarrett Culver, rookie-wise, of all the guys that maybe a lot of people are not going to pay attention to because it is Minnesota, Jarrett Culver is an all-around player who's going to – I would not be surprised by, like, early March. He's starting over Wiggins. That is
wow.
A bold statement for me, but I think he's good enough, and I also just don't believe in Andrew Wiggins anymore to take the next step, and I love Jarrett Culver. But maybe my captain, and he comes off the bench, about types of guys that you want to tune in for. I'm going to be staying up late a lot this year to watch Portland Trailblazer basketball. And the reason why I texted Bo, literally July 7th, you know, summer league's going on. It's the summer. Bo just got back to San Diego. The last thing he wants to hear or see is a text message from me regarding NBA hoops. All right? And I go, this Anthony Simons guy on Portland, the backup point guard, is going to be so special. I love this dude. And I know I'm saying a lot of superlatives right now, but I have bought all the stock. I know I said this prior, but I literally own all stock in Anthony Simons. I love his game. The one stat I'm going to give to you, and it's the reason why I think he's going to succeed, when Dame and CJ are off the floor, their net rating is minus 8 points a game. 8 points they lose when Dame and CJ are both off the floor. He's got a perfect niche he can walk right into and be the guy that becomes a very special player for the Portland Trailblazers, becomes a guy who can really succeed. I mean, the last stat I'll give you against the season finale last year, he put up 37-9 as a rookie. He's 18 years old, came out of IMG Academy, got no real basketball experience outside of professional basketball experience or even college-level basketball experience. Anthony Simons, remember the name. When Dame goes out of the game, I know a lot of people turn off the TV, but you have a reason to keep it on because of Anthony Simons.
Uncle Luke, fantastic work, by the way. When you started going off about the Knicks, I got a little... Kevin Knox is on this list, man.
Interesting. Okay.
Kevin Knox is absolutely on this list. And now we've had our up and downs. You and I, all of Missouri have had their up and downs with Kevin Knox, right? The kid visits Missouri. He considers it heavily. He visits with the big dogs. He ends up at Kentucky. He comes back to Mizzou in a game. Mizzou is giving him the hardest time of his life, maybe,
truly,
from a crowd, right?
Yep.
You were at that game, right? We were at that game together.
Yes.
And it was savage towards Kevin Knox.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
So we saw him at a low point in his career. And even last year, you know, I felt so bad for the guy. It is a horrible, horrible franchise to be drafted by right now. New York is an absolute shithole. The team is in no positive direction. It's a huge market with a ton of media coverage, which is maybe the worst mix of two things ever, would be a dysfunctional franchise and a strong media market. And he has to deal with both of those. But if he stays focused and they can figure out this spacing with Julius Randle, right? And they're going to we're going to be talking about Julius Randle, I think, a lot this week. I've got some big things planned for the crew. Don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, but I have some big news regarding the Julius Randle and the Knicks. So we don't need to dive in. But I think Kevin Knox is a really special talent. I think he's got the right head on his shoulders. He seems to be in the right mindset. He's got the long ball. He's got the body. Other than the organization around him, if you took him and put him anywhere else other than New York Knicks, I think he would be one of the most talked about, one, rookies last year, two, sophomores this year, and looking into the future here, he's a guy I kind of want to tune in and watch for. I think he's going to be able to do a little bit of everything, whether that's rebound, defend, let it fly from deep, or drive it to the hole. Kevin Knox is in this discussion of he might have the chance to be one of the better overall players in the NBA in a few years down the line. I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, but that's what this category really is about, right? And if the Knicks were not a bottom three team in the league, man, he is a candidate for most improved player in my book. Listen, rookie year is a tough year for anyone. Imagine doubling that and adding playing in the garden, as we say,
in a
horrible franchise. The poor guy is in the worst spot he could be in. And yet, I still have faith that he could be that guy moving forward in New York. I think he kind of has that mojo that is required to be a star in New York. I'm bought in on Kevin Knox.
Mm. Mm. I Regarding the Knicks, I think they're in a right direction. I think a lot of people kind of overrated the idea that the Knicks, they're bad. Look, they're not in a good, you know, space. They haven't been for as long as James. Oh my goodness, sorry. When I watch the Bulls and do these podcasts, I sometimes black out for a second. Anyway,
it happens, brother. Listen, look, if there's one man, Uncle Luke, if there's one guy who understands live sports as you're recording a podcast, I would hope to God you would be like, "Oh, Bo gets me, right?
Yeah,
like,
Bo gets
what I'm talking about right now."
I just watched Wendell Carter swat a ball and then take it all the way down the court and slamming home. And good to see him healthy. No, I think the Knicks are really bad. What I was trying to get to was, I'm going to ask you a question. Would you rather be a fan of the Knicks or the Charlotte Hornets right now?
Oh God, Uncle Luke, just put a gun to my head.
Would you rather always have the constant expectation of the New York Knicks? We're going to get KD, Kawhi, LeBron, everybody always, and then always fail. Or would you be the guy or the team that has made the playoffs a couple of times, who have had decent teams before, and last year were on the cusp a little bit, and then they lose their franchise guy of the last 10 years to Boston?
I mean, the hardest part about the Knicks is that you're playing in the Garden, you're playing in this historic franchise, and yeah, it is the expectation. At least maybe in Charlotte you get to hide away from it, but I guess it depends who you are. Because if Kevin Knox really does have the juice that we're talking about, and he's going to get buckets regardless of where he is, who he's playing against, no matter the circumstance, no matter the situation. Listen, I'm a hooper, Uncle Luke, and you know that. You know me. If I get the chance to ball out in Madison Square Garden wearing that blue and orange, I don't really care who my boss is, right? If I could entertain the people of New York, I could never ask for anything more. But that is That's a fucking horrible situation.
Wait, you're telling me you don't want to entertain the people of Milwaukee? You don't want to entertain them?
Listen, we're going to get into Milwaukee here in about 5 minutes, okay? Okay, don't get me riled up like that, all right? You're asking for some trouble right now. Uncle Luke, before we dive in, I guess, we have two areas we have to tackle here, I guess, before we get into kind of our two teams, the Bulls and the Bucks, okay? I have our top three league pass teams to watch, and it kind of coincides with what we just talked about. So just teams that if you're flipping through the channels, right, and they're on the game and you don't necessarily know many of the players, maybe you do, but they're not necessarily on TNT. They're not going to be on ESPN. So these have to be three teams kind of outside that bubble. If you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and list you my three.
Give them to me, please.
And then you can respond as you'd like and then provide your own commentary, whatever you'd like to do. I've got the Memphis Grizzlies in my top three, probably at the three spot. Ja Morant is one of the most electric players I've seen in college in a long time. And you want to talk about a guy that, so there's a difference between juice and dog. And yes. I think Jaw's got that dog in him, bro.
He do.
I think he's got that dog in him. And you combine that with what they've going on with JJJ, I am so excited to watch this team grow. And of course they're going to have those growing pains. Of course they're going to have the Osgood slaughter of any eighth grader or ninth grader, right, growing up. But in a couple of years down the line, if you're going to be watching these games and you're going to say, wow, you know what, I kind of saw that coming. I think this is one of those teams. We've discussed this other team now so many times over the last year and a half. The Sacramento Kings are one of the most slept on organizations maybe in all of basketball right now. It is a combination of entertainment, speed, offensive prowess. I could watch the Sacramento Kings play basketball 7 nights a week, all day long, twice on Sundays. Now, of course, they apparently have to deal with this Buddy Hield situation, which we'll get into in a little bit. I want to get into it in a little bit. We'll save it, okay?
Okay.
But the Sacramento Kings, again, shout out Dustin Sleater. He's been on them for so long, but the Sacramento Kings are one of the most fun teams to watch in the NBA. They're not there right now, and this West is way too competitive and polished for the Sacramento Kings to be a part of it. But they are showing signs over the last year, and what I expect to be this year, to be just a part of that mix a few years down the line. And then it's the New Orleans Pelicans, right? We've talked extensively about Lonzo Ball. We've talked extensively about Brandon Ingram. Zion Williamson is maybe the most talked about rookie since LeBron James. Jrue Holiday is an absolute two-way monster. J.J. Redick's never missed the playoffs. So, you know, they're going to be kind of a buzz team. And so I'm going to include them in the mix. I don't know where they fall in this Western Conference. I don't know if they're a bubble team. I don't know if they fall into just missing the playoffs or if they end up proving themselves to be a sixth seed with young guns, which would blow my mind. But regardless of where they finish, man, you better believe that they're going to be entertaining as hell.
I like those picks. I really do. I mean, I couldn't agree more with the Pelicans pick, without a doubt. I could not agree more with it. The plethora of guys that either have to prove themselves or young talent in general, I really do believe that that is going to be maybe one of the best. You're going to talk about the definition of league pass teams. The New Orleans Pelicans are the definition of the league pass teams. All right. For me, my three teams, you know, last year I watched a lot of Bucks basketball. I bet on a lot of Bucks basketball last year. They were kind of the team I was really excited about. You think about the spot they were in before, go seven games with the Boston Celtics, which were the one or two. I want to say they were the two seed, right, that year, 2017.
The Bucks in 2017.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. They played the Celtics. They went seven games, and so last year the Bucks were very much a team I was feeling myself on.
The Celtics were the two seed 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, that's
with
what I'm talking
Isaiah
about.
Thomas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the Bucks were the
seventh
seed.
The seventh seed.
Okay.
So, yeah, you're right. It was the minimum one and the eight. Regardless, we're talking about semantics here. So, last year I also had Indiana that I loved. Looked like an awesome pick until Oladipo got hurt.
Bravo, really, by the way, for my third time on the podcast, bravo.
I wish I could say Indiana again this year. I wish I could. I mean, who they picked up, not going to complain about it because I think they'll be there in the playoffs again this year. But for me, I don't really have numbers to put around here, but shout out one time. Spread love. It's the Brooklyn way.
Brooklyn.
Now, I think a lot of people a lot of people are just kind of waiting on Kevin Durant to show back up and for that team to really take off. I'm talking about right now. I picked Kyrie Irving to be my MVP last year. I was in on the Boston Celtics being the number one seed in the East, going to the finals. They always played the Warriors really well when Isaiah Thomas was their point guard. We basically switched out Isaiah for Kyrie that year. And look what the hell happened. Good God. I mean, just a total, just ugly, ugly mess. Now he's where he wants
Uncle
to
Luke,
be.
You were hit or miss last year, right? You hit as spot on the Indiana Pacers as I've seen any prediction. Maybe, honestly, this may have been your best insight of NBA basketball that I've ever. Listen, we've talked a lot about NBA basketball over the last 4 years. But your calling of what the Indiana Pacers could be last year and could be this year was nothing short of brilliant. Now, the Kyrie Irving MVP pick, on the other hand. That was some of the dumbest shit I have ever heard looking back on.
Hey, listen. I you know how I pick my MVPs. I look at how I lay out. You know, 1-8 in the East, 1-8 in the West. And I look at it, I go 1 and 2 seeds. Those are where your MVPs reside. I wasn't wrong about it. You know, Giannis, one seed for the Bucks. Last year, the Rockets ended up being the 3 seed, two or three seed, but Harden was spectacular again. That's normally where those guys come from. So I was going off the basis of, well, if Boston's going to be the one seed, which I thought, which was also a very bad choice to talk about or to predict, then I might as well go with their best player in the team. Now, The reason why I like Brooklyn in this spot is because they don't have KD to bail them out. You know, we saw that a lot with the Warriors last year. They didn't always play up to their potential, especially when KD was there. Because, look, when you have a 7-foot guy that is automatic from 15 feet, who is silky smooth from 30 feet, and can get to the rim and play both ends, is one of the top, going to go down as one of the top 10 players to ever play this game, you rely on him. You take nights off. You let him do his thing, right? They're going to learn how to play as a team in Brooklyn. They were awesome last year. The job Kenny Atkinson did with that team, they were gritty. They were tough. They were a different type of team. They really represented what Brooklyn basketball should look like. You add Kyrie Irving, who seems refreshed. He seems like he understands what it takes to be a leader a little bit more. He went through the bad part of being a leader, and hopefully he learns from that experience. I think they're just going to be a joy to watch. I like a lot of players on that team. I love Dinwiddie. I love Caris LeVert. Jared Allen, who's a guy I could easily put in center of Mitchell Robinson if you don't want to watch the Knicks play basketball. Jared Allen at center is a really good player as well. They just got guys that I like, and it's Brooklyn. It's a very easy team to watch, aesthetically pleasing team to watch. They got some nice threads they're going to roll out this year as well. My second team, also a team that is just going to bring it uniform-wise this year, is the Utah Jazz. I talked about them a ton during the San Diego episode. Everything they did in the offseason, I really liked. Bringing in Mike Conley, bringing in Bohan. I just like that they kind of, you know, they had Favors and Gobert forever there. And it worked, especially when, you know, they were able to get past Oklahoma City 2 years ago and then obviously flamed out against the Rockets last year. Derek Favors is now in New Orleans. Rudy Gobert is, you know, a perennial defensive player of the year candidate. I'm looking for a year three leap from Donovan Mitchell. You want to talk about guys who need to take that jump. Donovan Mitchell's stats and Zach LaVine's stats are damn near identical. Zach LaVine's actually a better shooter. Obviously, a lot of people talk about Donovan Mitchell a ton. Not as much as Zach LaVine. Donovan Mitchell. He's got to take that leap. He's got to be way more efficient offensively. He's got to be a leader for that team if he's going to be the guy, right? And I'm dead serious. I said this in my group text with my good friends from college. You know them all, Bo. And I go,
the banana boat bros.
Yeah, the boys. I go, Donovan Mitchell plus 4,000 MVP is quite the odds. Now, I understand there's a ton of guys you could pick for MVP. But this is, again, this could be crazy. What are you thinking, Luke, by, especially in the Western Conference where there's at least 12 teams that can make the playoffs in the Western Conference this year. But I think the Jazz are going to just bring it every single night. They're bringing back those mountaintop white, the purple and the blue and the whites of the old school 90s with the Jordan Bulls versus the Stockton and Malone Pistons. So they're going to look real nice and easy to watch. I just think Donovan Mitchell's got a special leap inside of him. And maybe catapult, maybe, especially if Utah is in that conversation for the 1 or 2 seed in the West, maybe catapults himself into the MVP conversation. I think Mike Conley being there is going to really take a lot of the ball handling duties off him, and he's going to make Donovan Mitchell a much better player. And lastly, my third NBA League Pass team is another Texas team that I'd like to talk about a little bit more is the Dallas Mavericks. I am so ready for those Euro bigs, the Steve Nash, Dirk Nowitzki 2.0, Donovan Mitchell, who you and I spoke about for way longer than we should have in 2017, long before the national consensus of Luka Doncic was in, right? We were talking about Luka a little bit.
Uncle Luke, we've talked about a lot of things on our podcast over the last couple of years, right? Some things we've hit on, some things we've missed, as we just discussed, you know, your Kyrie Irving pick versus the Indiana Pacers pick. You were on Luka early, and I bought in early. We have been all over Luka Doncic as one of the premier elite up-and-coming stars of this league for, what, 3 years now?
I mean, before even his last year at Real Madrid, we were talking about, like, hey, this guy had 2 years. You know, we were talking about that draft class and those college players that we were talking about, the Knoxes of the world, the MPJs at the time. Hey, oh, this Luka Doncic kid.
stud, and he's got a perfect running mate and a 7'3 Latvian gangbanger off fresh off an injury, sat out the whole year. He's going to have a huge chip on his shoulder for the way things ended in New York. And remember that we had the emergency podcast. We had to make an emergency call because, you know, it was like Porzingis is going into the meeting with the New York Knicks front office. And then the next report was Porzingis is very unhappy. And the next report was Porzingis is going to the Dallas Mavericks for picks and players. And I was like, oh, good Lord, what happened here? I just looking at Luka Doncic, you go back to Porzingis' press conference and you look at Luka Doncic, who's in the background of the press and everything. And the guy's just got the biggest smile on his face. And he's one of the most enjoyable players to watch in basketball, without a doubt. I want a very special player. And the Mavericks, they're well coached. They're usually always competing at a high level. I like the Mavericks, and they're probably my number one league pass team because of Doncic and Porzingis. I really want to see that work out, and I just want to see one pick and roll between Doncic and Porzingis. That's when I know I'm back watching NBA league pass. You know what I mean?
Uncle Luke, before we finish up the final chapter of this podcast here as we wrap things up, and you know we have so much content planned over the next week here. It's just absolutely, you and I are going to be pulling double shifts here essentially for for both our jobs and school and whatever it is. You and I are going to be madmen over the next 10 days, right, to get all this shit out. Let's take a quick break, all right, and then we'll finish up and we'll wrap up our NBA preseason podcast with some Bulls Bucks topics and what to watch for and maybe a missing piece conversation and all that other stuff. We'll be right back.
See, boy, don't tizzy. TV. That don't talk much, by the way. Yeah. Spokesman, what's really good, homie? Rock City. Not pretty.
Now I'm from the beginning. Oh, I love this life. I'm living in both my children.
Open up that sunroof right quick, though. Yeah. I need to feel some air coming in the room. Actually, in the car.
All right, and we're back here on the Bo Templin Show. Uncle Luke and I are just cruising through this NBA preseason podcast. As I've said before, this is maybe my favorite time of the year, right? Like, as a Hoops fan, you can't get more excited. And we've talked about players that we're excited for. We've talked about teams that we're excited for. But at the end of the day, we grew up loving this sport because of the teams that we loved. And so we're going to wrap up with some Bucks Bulls talks. Uncle Luke, before we do get into the Bulls, and I want to get there, okay, because I think it is important here. I have a list of players that I'm just going to run through. I mean, I'm telling you 2 minutes that I'm calling the X-Men, okay? And over the last couple years, I've told you how much I think this league has become a league of superheroes, right? I've talked about over and over that it's comic book storytelling. That's what the NBA is doing. And you have your Marvel movies, right? The Marvel movies are as big as ever. And I think those are like the LeBron James, the Kevin Durant, the Kyrie Irvings. And then just below that are the X-Men. Just below that, just a tier below that are the X-Men. And these are players that I think could be X-Factors for their teams and their success long-term in the season. So I've got Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and the only reason I'm putting those two in this conversation is because, listen, a year ago, Danny Ainge made the decision to not trade for Kawhi Leonard and not give up Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown. And if the Celtics want to prove Danny Ainge right, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are going to have to step up. In the same conversation as Kevon Looney for the Warriors, right? This is a whole new Warriors team that we're not necessarily familiar with. So Kevon Looney might be the guy who's going to be the glue guy that Draymond Green was a few years ago. I've got Brandon Ingram in this discussion, who for the last 3 years we've been talking about this, but if the Pelicans are going to break through that wall, break through that barrier, Brandon Ingram is one of those guys. I've talked about it as extensively as possible. We'll save it for the Bucks portion of this podcast, but Eric Bledsoe is undeniably a part of this X-Men group. And then finally, for Denver and the Nuggets, Will Barton, right? We didn't see a whole lot of Will Barton last year, and the Denver Nuggets were just on the cusp of breaking through, right, where they're right there. I think Will Barton, if he plays as the Nuggets are hoping he plays, that he could kind of be one of those guys who is an X-Men. Denver is so close, and the West is only getting tougher. And MPJ and Bol Bol are way too risky to rely on. Will Barton might kind of be that guy for the Nuggets for them to move forward. I don't know if you have any players prepared, Uncle Luke, for your X-Men list.
I don't, but let's see what I can do off the top of my head. If you want to start in Denver, Gary Harris, two-way star. He's not a star, but you know what I mean. He's really good at being a two-way player. And I want to talk about Denver. They got the guy in Jokic, and they have a guard who could be very well the guy as well in Jamal Murray. And I think Gary Harris has always been the perfect running mate for Jamal because he can bring up the ball. He's obviously a far better defender than Murray is, and he just gives that wing flexibility that so many GMs desire in the league. And I don't think he had as great of a year as he didn't. I wouldn't say he's played up to his contract yet. Doesn't mean he's been playing poorly. He hasn't, but he's got a pretty significant contract that was given to him, and I think Denver really needs him to play to that expectation, that level, to where he can kind of be that third guy, because they had to rely on Monte Morris last year as kind of, you know, they had injuries and everything. But outside of Denver, I'd really like the Boston guys as well. I would say in Portland, I think Hassan Whiteside, you know, he's been given this extra life.
Mr. 2K.
In Portland. Yeah, exactly. He's been kind of given this moment where, hey, you have this amount of time until Nurkic comes back, and that's our guy, that's our center, that's our man. But if you want to prove yourself on this team and you want to prove to the rest of the league that you are not washed up, that you are still a good defensive player and a guy who can protect the rim and finish around it as well, there's no better time to prove it right now. Because, look, if Hassan Whiteside plays like Hassan Whiteside can, and I know that's a big if and a lot of gamble, but Portland's taking the risk. If he fills that gap until Nurkic is out, then holy cow, you have Zach Collins, Hassan Whiteside, a rejuvenated Hassan Whiteside, and Nurkic coming back. That's a tough, and look, the West has got some big dudes. You look at that Lakers team last night, holy shit.
They look massive. They look like Goliath massive right now.
When your point guard's LeBron James, I mean, I get it, but so you got to have guys in the West that can protect the paint if you're going to be able to get out of the West. Another guy, Skip to my Lou. Obviously, this could be the ultimate X-Man. He might be actually the X-Man, is Lou Williams on the Clippers. And I honestly, you know, if you want an easy little segue, I'm going to say it right now. Otto Porter Jr. and Thomas Satoransky for the Bulls. I got to be X-Men. If the Bulls want to make the playoffs, they want to grab that 8 seed, or if they at least want to make that 12 to 15 win jump that they kind of expect themselves to make, the two veterans in Satoransky and Otto Porter Jr., no better place to start than with those two guys as well.
Uncle Luke, I think it's time. I really do, okay? So you brought it before the podcast started, and you had questions from the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, I prepared absolutely zero.
Why would you?
In regards to the Bucks, right? I did work once their season was wrapped up. We talked about it briefly in San Diego. But it's time. We're a week away from the season. So I want to know what questions you've got for me regarding the Milwaukee Bucks.
Philly and Milwaukee. It's late May. Game 6. The Bucks backs against the wall. Philly was the 1 seed. Ben Simmons has shown he can still shoot. He actually can shoot, excuse me. And Al Horford is once again giving Giannis issues. Pretty much the only guy in the league that has consistently been able to give Giannis some sort of issues. But not only that, they have Embiid that can guard Giannis. They have Tobias Harris. They can throw a body at him, and obviously Simmons can switch on to him as well. Who's that guy? Who's the guy? Because the 50-40-90 Moses is in Indiana now. So who's the guy you rely on? Is it Eric Bledsoe? Is that the guy you're going to have to rely on? Or is it Brooke Lopez? I mean, and obviously Middleton as well. You paid a significant amount of money for those three guys. Lopez,
yeah,
Middleton, and Eric Bledsoe.
if I'm me, I'm giving that significant amount of money to Brogdon, and I'm paying the tax, and I'm rolling with it because I don't know how long I have Giannis Antetokounmpo. I know I've asked this question in some sort of variation in a while, but that's really the only question that is left to be spoken about this Bucks team, is who can they rely on when it matters most that isn't number 34?
Uncle Luke, I started this podcast, and before we even got into the commissioner question, right? Before we even got there, which is how we start every NBA podcast, I gave you a magic number. Do you recall what it is?
60, right?
Yeah, 60. 60. Uh-huh. 60. And I'm gonna tell you what that number means. During the Bucks NBA media day, Giannis was being asked questions during their panel. They asked Giannis, like, what more can you do, right? Like, what more can you do? You're already the NBA MVP. You've already done that. You've already taken your team to an Eastern Conference Finals. And you know what Giannis said? Giannis goes, I'm just at the 60% mark of my potential. Mm. You know, not everyone needs to agree with me. Not everyone needs to see it the same way as I do. But the way I view myself is that I've only reached 60% of my capacity. And I said it when I talked about the Bucks when they left the Eastern Conference Finals after getting ousted by Kawhi. Giannis is a turnaround jump shot away from daggering everyone and anyone who stands in his way. And that is the bottom line, is that if you took that same Bucks team, now I know they don't have Brogdon anymore, but I think Brogdon's work is recoverable. I really do believe that. Maybe I just sound biased. Maybe I'm closed-minded right now just because I'm talking about the Milwaukee Bucks. I think they're the favorite in the East right now.
Giannis, this is your moment to pop off, my friend. Let it fly, big fella.
Brother, I'm here for it, right? I think Giannis is about to go on an absolute tear the next 2 years. I think this could be one of the most dominant runs we've ever seen from a player, maybe ever. That is no bullshit. I'm not making shit up right now. Giannis could do some absolutely batshit crazy nonsense over the next 2 years. This year, obviously included. This year specifically, he has everything that he has as much freedom as he could ever ask for. Giannis is going to go ahead. He's going to be driving in the lane. And I'm telling you, he is a turnaround jump shot away. I don't know if you saw what Giannis looks like lately. He looks like a fucking Greek god out there. He looks so big, so cut, so shredded, so focused, and so determined. He is a team first guy. When he gets blocked, he sprints back down to the other end. He is the leader that I would dream and ask for 100 times out of 100. I could not be more excited for this Bucks team. I'm probably going to let them do more of the talking than I will myself. I don't care. I don't care if I'm next to him, if you're next to him, if Jack Mays, Gabe, and Big Phil are lined up on that squad. If Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek freak, the alphabet, is leading the way. I have as much faith in him as I do any player in the entire NBA this year. You can believe that.
Oh, man, I've been waiting for that rant for 2.5 years. I'm going to tell you that right now. I've been waiting because last year you didn't even want to go there. I'm just going to let the Bucks play basketball. And look, you did. You very rarely spoke about them. You would go in spurts and speak about them. I did more speaking about the Bucks than you did because I was making money on the
Bucks. You were making the money, bro. You were the one with the cash in your hands.
I was bringing the bags to the bank, if you know what I mean. I was cutting the check, a little CTC, if you know what I mean. And so I was doing all the Bucks talking, and I've been trying to you know, I remember when I sent you that text message after the Eastern Conference Finals. I go, look, you're one player away. That's it. You're one player away. And I love that what you're saying, because this is very much how I felt when we had Derrick Rose and we had those Bulls teams. There are far more talented teams in the league than the Bulls in those early years. But I always believed, I was like, I got Derrick Rose. I got the
and you'll go to and
MVP.
You will walk exactly into battle with him mm-hmm. in front exactly. of you. That's all that exactly. matters.
And I've made it clear that there are how many times I've said it about the similarities in the come up and their rise to stardom and that Giannis and D Rose have actually had. But you're right. It is kind of scary that Giannis is one jump shot away from really, you know, sealing the deal on, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he won MVP again. I would actually almost expect it at this point because of his mentality. I think he's got, of all the superstars in the league, you know, sans maybe Kawhi, because we just don't understand it. We don't know it. He doesn't express it. But of all the mentalities in the league of the superstars, I probably, if I, you know, I'm a fan of a team, there's a superstar I want, it's Giannis Antetokounmpo's mentality, the Mamba mentality 2.0. So very much in agreement with you, and I'm glad you got that out of your system.
Thank you, brother. I really, really appreciate it. Yeah, I think I would take a bullet for this guy, man. He is everything you want in an NBA player and more. It's a grounded, very reasonable immigrant mentality of earning everything that, you know, taking what you've earned, and it's about putting in the work. And that's what I love about Giannis, right? He knows it's not just going to come naturally, right? Jump shooting, it's not really a natural thing. It's not like you're born with it or whatever. It's work. And if Giannis is willing to put in that work, then that's all that matters. Uncle Luke, though, you want to talk about rants. There's been no one better in my lifetime with their rants and with their teams than you and the Chicago Bulls. What's the outlook on this season?
It's optimistic, and I expressed that optimism in early August when last time we spoke about, you know, hoops, when we finally kind of put this team together. And now, you know, the live watching the last preseason game before the regular season, which tips off when we release this, is that it is optimism. And we, like I said, we talk about juice quite a bit, and there's a lot of moves that have kind of proven me wrong. I spoke a little bit about it when I talked about Zach LaVine. You know, he kind of comes in. I wasn't a total fan of kind of putting this whole package around Zach LaVine, giving up Jimmy Butler. Obviously, the trade worked out. Jim Boylan. The last time I really made a constructive rant of the Chicago Bulls was last December when they fired Fred Hoiberg on December 2nd, and Jim Boylan becomes the coach. There's mutiny in the locker room. Guys don't want to play for him. And now, from everything I've heard out of Bulls camp this year, is that they're buying into everything Jim Boylan says. Now, I understand that he looks kind of funny. The way he talks about spirit and mentality and the very zen part of the game of basketball. He speaks a lot. But this dude's smart. You know, I know he's not Greg Popovich, but he learned for years under Greg Popovich. He's been in the Bulls organization for a while. He's talked to some of the greatest players in NBA history. He's been around the game his entire life. He is as much of a lifer as Tom Thibodeau is. He's smart. He knows what he's doing. And the reason why I continue to see the optimism is because they're beginning to finally practice what they preach. You know, how many years do we sit there as a Bulls fan and be like, they'll say one thing and then the opposite will happen, to the point where we expect the opposite to happen to whatever they say? This year, what do they finally say? Look, we're not getting superstars. We're just not in the position to go after and sign a superstar. There's a small portion of the fan base was like, well, what the hell? We're Chicago. We should be getting the guys. We haven't really gotten those guys, at least in my lifetime. We haven't got them to come, right? So we build through the draft. We realistically have hit on three high lottery draft picks. You know, Markkanen, Wendell, who's getting back into form here after missing half the year with injury last year, and then now Coby White, who I remember going on this podcast. It was a preview for the Robert Mays interview he did about the Bucks, and it was just after the lottery, and the Bulls tanked all the way to seventh, and I go, okay, well, there is one guy I really like who could be there, and that's Coby White. And Coby White has actually shown some extreme flashes where I'm like, okay, I'm going to be very patient with you. You're very raw. But he can shoot it, big body, can get to the rim. He's quick as hell, and he just wants to win. And I think that's number one thing. You talked about mentality with Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks. for me, this team's talented, and quite honestly, they're pretty fucking deep too. I mean, there's at least 10 guys where they can play NBA, you know, significant minutes and on other NBA teams. I like their starting five. It's unique. It's different. There's a lot of different lineups they can do. And Jim Boylan has been practicing what he's been preaching. We're going to shoot more threes. We're going to resemble more of a modern NBA offense. Wendell Carter, as I speak, just shot a three. Right? That's my center. After Lauri Markkanen just walks down the court with the ball, bringing up, they're practicing what they preach. They're going to be unconventional. And I think for me, it's, we always talk about it. And it's, I want it tattooed on my chest, my left pectoral, if I could. Tuesday night in February. What do you mean?
Tuesday night in February. That's all. Hey, brother, if there's a single guy who gets it, dude.
It's the Tuesday night in February. Are you sitting down watching games? Are you a league pass junkie? If you're an NBA player, it's a Tuesday night in February. The season's dragging on. It's about to be the All-Star break. Get some time off. Go get some sun somewhere in the world. But are you showing up for that game in New Orleans? Are you showing up for that game in Sacramento? And these guys are young. They're hungry. You know, their only real weakness, I wouldn't say, you know, I mean, there are plenty of weaknesses, obviously. They're a young team. But, you know, real weaknesses that pop out right away is their wing depth outside of, you know, Otto Porter Jr. And they're going to have to rely on Denzel Valentine, who hasn't played a lot in the last 2 years. He's a good shooter, but you never know. I've never been more optimistic in the last 5 years. And that, you know, 5 years goes back to the last time Derrick Rose hit that shot against Cleveland. That's pretty much the last time I felt this sort of optimism with this team, because it seems like they finally have a plan and they're executing that plan. And I've been telling people that come up to me on the street, been tweeting at me and go, "Hey, Luke, give me a reason." Because there's a lot of people in Chicago. You know, it's a big town with a lot of great sports teams. The Bears were good last year. The Cubs obviously had a great run. The Hawks this last decade have won 3 Stanley Cups. Even the White Sox in the 2000s have won a championship. People love basketball in the city of Chicago. They really do. This is a basketball town. But it's really tough to follow a basketball team when you're an average NBA fan. And there's a lot of people in this town that just are asking for it. Give me a reason. Give me a reason to show back up. This year, I think we're going to get the reason.
Uncle Luke, we have ended, I believe, every NBA-related, maybe even more than our NBA episodes, but we have ended almost every podcast the exact same.
Mm-hmm.
And it is by me saying, "Let's go home." Now, that is inspired by Vince Carter's dunk contest, you know, in 2000, where he goes between the legs. He does the honey dipper. Kenny the Jet Smith is just popping off right during all this, and he screams, "Let's go home, ladies and gentlemen." Well, I think it would be unfair to provide our silence and due respect towards Vince Carter, as it appears to be, you know, this is his last go, and the One Last Dance has grown into a serious thing, right? The farewell tour. I am so excited to watch Vince Carter give his goodbyes, waves, kiss some babies as he goes stadium to stadium. And there's really nothing left to be said. We are 5 days away from the greatest sport beginning their season. The NBA is here. It's another day in the NBA. Let's go home, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go home.
Let's go home. Let's go home, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go home.
Make a clap to this. Make a clap to this. Make a clap to this.